Hashem, you see how we've been focusing on the sugyas of Talmud Torah and teaching Torah and Dinim of Rabbanim and Dayanim and Smicha, things of that nature. So I thought we'd really, in a sense, finish, you know, literally make a siyum, but finish up another major component of this sugya, and that's really the sugya of Chinuch. Because we know that, we spoke about this earlier in the year, that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah appears in the Chumash really in the context of teaching our children, primarily, Vishnaldon Levanecha. And now we're referring to children, to Tamidim. So clearly the way that we're mechanic our children is obviously a major component of the general mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So let's just get a little bit of a background as to what the nature of chinuch is all about, and how chinuch plays out in general rules and in particulars. So for the next couple of shiurim, we'll try to focus on some of these sugyas. The Gemara speaks about the obligation of chinuch primarily as being his obligation with the Rabbanim. The Torah doesn't say explicitly there's a concept of chinuch. Well, it doesn't exactly mean that. The Torah does speak about teaching Torah to our children, but when we speak about chinuch, I mean to training our children to do the actual ma'isa mitzvahs. So the Torah doesn't say that we have to make sure our children eat the sukkah. The Torah doesn't say we have to make sure that we make our children eat matzah. The Torah says we have to teach our children about the mitzvahs. But that's an educational mitzvah. It doesn't say the practice. We have to make sure that the children do the ma'isa mitzvah itself. So Abba B'chein, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Sukkah that there is a dibbid de rabbanon called chinuch, that we're obligated with the rabbanon. Once a child reaches the age of chinuch, that he understands how to do a particular mitzvah, so we have to make sure that he's involved in that mitzvah. The Gemara is quick to point out that the age of chinuch changes according to the child, and changes according to the mitzvah. There are some mitzvahs that a child will be able to do at a much earlier age, other mitzvahs going to take as a later date. So the idea of chinuch is a certain degree subjective, but this is an overall mitzvah midrabanan, to be mechanech at children, not just to teach them about the mitzvahs, but to actually train them to do the mitzvahs themselves. The Meshech Chochma points out in Parshas Vayera that even though the obligation of chinuch primarily is only a mitzvah midrabanan, it still is rooted in the Chumash. We shouldn't think that it's something the Chum just made up one fine day, that there's an idea to train our children properly. The Meshech Chochma points out that the Torah describes in Parshas Vayera, right before the events of Sodom and Gomorrah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks the praises of Avram Avinu, and he says, I'm going to tell Avram Avinu what I'm about to do, because Avram is so beloved to me. And why is Avram so beloved to me? Ki yadativ l'mana sheyitzav as bonav as beis v'achar b'shem v'dech Hashem lasas tochel mishpat. The greatness of Avram Avinu is not just in the fact that he keeps the mitzvahs, but that he trains his children. He trains the people of his household lasas tochel mishpat, to follow in my path, to follow the path of the mitzvahs. So the Meshech Chochma says that the Chachamim looked at this pasuk and they saw that obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu is proud of this. Obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy if not only we do the mitzvah itself, but we train our children to and Tamidim to do the mitzvahs. So therefore the Chum instituted the formalities of the mitzvah of chinuch. So again, the concept of chinuch is a deraistic concept. The formalities, the technical details were instituted by the Chum. When we speak about the idea of chinuch, so we're talking primarily in the realm of mitzvah saseh. The Gemara in Masechet Sukkah that lists off the details of chinuch. So the Gemara speaks about chinuch by the mitzvah sukkah. The Gemara says that sukkah is a type of mitzvah that you know, can't train a child at the age of 2 years old to sit in the sukkah. He has to be old enough to sit in the sukkah properly. So what's considered to be sitting in the sukkah properly? So the Gemara says he has to be able to sleep in the sukkah. Since sleeping is an integral part of the mitzvah of a sukkah's teishah shivas yamim, if the child's not old enough to sleep by himself, every time he wakes up in the middle of the night and calls for his mother, he cries in the middle of the night, so obviously he's not a yid chinuch. So once the child's old enough that he can wake up in the middle of the night and put himself back to sleep again, so that's considered to be yid chinuch for the mitzvah sukkah. And then the Gemara spells out other mitzvahs, tzitzis. Also, you can't be a mechanech, a 1-year-old in tzitzis. He has to know how to dress himself in order to be chayav in tzitzis. Ekohena v'chayena. So all the lists, all the dinim that are listed off in that braisa and Masechet Sukkah, all revolve around mitzvahs asei. What about mitzvahs los asei? Is there an idea of chinuch to make sure that a person doesn't do aveiros? Or should we say that chinuch is limited only to the realm of mitzvahs asei for some reason? So there are some Rishonim who say that, of course, it applies to losses. It's a Kal v'chomer. Madach mitzvah saseh, which is in a sense less important in the hierarchy of halacha, the fulfillment of a mitzvah saseh is less important than a los saseh. To violate a los saseh, there are onshim, there are some chayav malchus, chayav krisus, chayav nisus beis din. So in the hierarchy of halacha, los saseh is all more chomer than mitzvah saseh. Ramban has an interesting comment in Parshas Yisro. But the Ramban says that even though it's true that los saseh is in a certain sense a more chomer than mitzvah saseh, but we still have a rule called asei docha los saseh. When you have a clash between a positive mitzvah and a prohibition, so the positive mitzvah carries the day. So the moshel, if you have a clash between the mitzvah of tzitzis and the issue of wearing shatnez, so the halacha tells us that if you have a four-cornered linen baguette, so you have to put strings on, and the strings are supposed to be tchelas, and the tchelas has to be wool. So you see that the mitzvah of tzitzis overrides the issue of shatness. And Ramban is wondering philosophically, why is that true? Why is it that Asay is Docha Losa? So Ramban suggests that Losa says are rooted in Yiras Hashem, that you don't do a prohibition, you don't do something bad because you're afraid of somebody. Whereas mitzvah Asay, positive actions are rooted in Avas Hashem. So what's the highest service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ava Yira? So the Ramban says, we all know Avas Hashem is a greater level than Yiras Hashem. So therefore, Asay is Docha Losa. So it's a very interesting, fascinating Ramban, because Mechora and the hierarchy of Allah, it's not true. That Losa says really are more chomer than mitzvah Asay. So it's interesting, the Ramban's idea, when it's Ava, when it's Yira, and nice Shekhot Torah in Ashkafa, but in terms of pure Allah, it's hard to understand it. Remember when I was in high school, well, one year on Hanukkah, we had like a color war in school. So the two teams were Ava and Yira. Those are the name of the two teams. So I think I must have been on the Ava team. So I had to write a Zartara for the Ava team. So I quoted this Ramban. I said, you see from the Ramban that mitzvah says docha losa say. So somebody got up and gave another drasha and said that, I don't think he had stolen my recumbents, but he got up and he gave on the other team, and he got up and he said, no, you see that Losa says are more chomer than Aseis, because there's a din of mitzvah babi avera. Because if you have a clash between a mitzvah say and a Losa say, so then you're not allowed to do the avera. You have to refrain from doing the mitzvah rather than doing the avera. So then, you see for me, that Losa says are more chomer, you see that Yira is greater. So the problem was there was no rebuttal. So the rebuttal is that it's not a kasha, because there are some klolim. Sometimes mitzvah say is docha losa say. Sometimes it's a din of mitzvah babi avera. So you got to figure out what the rules and what the exceptions to the rules are. But the Ramban's rules still stand. So whatever it was, anyway, I think we won the klolim there. Yeah, but the Ramban would have wondered who would have given the drasha. So anyway, getting back to that story. So some rishonim say that if there's chinuch of mitzvah say, so for sure there's chinuch of losa say. Can you imagine? I have to train my child to eat matzah, but he can eat chametz. I don't have to stop him eating Chabbis. I have to train my child to come to the Shabbos table to hear Kiddush, but if he goes downstairs and he turns on the TV, I don't have to stop him because there's no chinuch and losa says. So many of you should say, that's ridiculous. How did that be? Says, Kabachar, we have to be mechanechim to do positive mitzvahs for sure. We have to be mechanechim to do losa says, to refrain from doing losa says. However, not all the Rishonim agree with this. But some Rishonim will say, no, there's a difference. Chinuch is on aseis, there's no chinuch on losa aseis. What led these Rishonim to say such a strange idea? So it's based on the Gemara at the end of Masechet Yevamos. The Gemara has quoted in a pasuk that appears in a few different places. One was in last week's parasha, and it was earlier in Sefer Yikra, where the Torah says, "Lahazik gadol malakatadim." In parasha's Emor, the Torah says, "Emor kohanim bnei Aaron v'amarto lehem." Emor v'amarto is a double lashon. What's the significance of a double lashon? The Gemara says this comes to teach us lahazik gadol malakatadim, that not only I have not to be a kohen. If I was a kohen, so not only am I not allowed to go to a cemetery, but I would not be permitted to have my child go to the cemetery either. Lahazik gadol malakatadim, even though my child's under bar mitzvah, but it wouldn't matter. That would still be a problem. The Gemara is the same lashon when it comes to eating non-kosher food. The Gemara is a drasha that just as I'm not allowed to eat non-kosher food, I'm not allowed to cause my child to eat or somebody else's child. I'm not permitted to cause katanim to eat the non-kosher food as well. So lahazir gedolim alaktanim. So the Gemara is in Machlekes, how to understand this halacha lahazik gedolim alaktanim? What's the case? What's the scenario? So according to one opinion in the Gemara, what this means is that anytime I see a child doing an aveira, whether it's my child or somebody else's child, I have to stop them from doing that aveira. And if I see a child eating treif, I have to step into there and take the treifas away from him. If I see a child doing mechal Shabbos, I have to pull him away from the light switch that he's turning on. I have a chiyuv lahazik gedolim alaktanim to make sure the ketanim don't do aveiras. That's one opinion in the Gemara. The other opinion in the Gemara says, no, it's not true. There is no such obligation. What the pasuk means is, I'm not allowed to cause the child to do the aveira. If I hand treifas to the child, that's what lahazik gedolim alaktanim is. Or if I take the little baby into the basic forest, I push him in the stroller into the basic forest, that's lahazik gedolim alaktanim. But if I see a little child who's a kohen, I see a 10-year-old kohen walk into the basic forest, not my problem. Whether he's my child or somebody else's child, I don't do anything about it. Lahazik gedolim alaktanim doesn't mean that I have to prevent it from doing aveiras. Lahazik gedolim alaktanim means I'm not allowed to cause him to do the aveira itself. So we have the pasuk in halacha that there is no obligation to stop a kohen from doing an aveira. I'm not allowed to actively give him treifas. I'm not allowed to actively cause him mechal Shabbos. I can't actively be metame the kohen kohen. But if he's doing it on his own, I'm not mechuyev to step in to stop him from doing it. So come to Rishon and ask, what do you mean you're not chayev to step in? What happened to chinuch? The Gemara has a whole pilpul about how to learn Pshat Apostle. Does Emo V'Amarta refer only to actively causing? Or does Emo V'Amarta require you to prevent the child from being culty on his own. So ask the Rishonim, Taisus, the Rishonim, all the Rishonim, what's the Gemara talking about? What am the Chinuch? You have to make sure the child eats in the sukkah, you have to feed him out, you have to make sure it comes to the Shabbos table to your Kiddush, so, but yet you're allowed to let him do a Veiras, that doesn't make any sense. So some Rishonim said, no, the answer is that there's only Din of Chinuch on Mitzvah Aseh, there is no Din of Chinuch on Mitzvah also say. That's what some one group of Rishonim said. So that's the minority view in the Rishonim. All the other Rishonim disagree and say it's very hard to understand that. Conceptually, the Kavachom is correct. If there's Chinuch on Aseh, Kavachom is there's Chinuch on also says. So what does the Gemara mean? When the Gemara says that if a child is being the Chal Shabbos, it's not my problem. If a child's eating treif, it's not my problem. The child's going to the basic class, it's not my problem. So the Rishonim have a split how to answer the question. The first answer, that there's no chinuch at all, that we don't accept halacha. But the second answer and the third answer are up for grabs. So what are the different answers that the Rishonim give? So some Rishonim say, very simple. We're dealing with a case. The child is low gil chinuch. He's a baby. The Gemara never says that if I see a 10-year-old turning on the light, I can let him go. No, if I see a child, gil chinuch, whether it's my child, somebody else's child, of course I have to interfere. Of course I have to stop him from doing it. All the Gemara means is, if I see a little baby turning on the light, we've all seen this, I'm sure. Once the kid is old enough to stand up on the stairs, he realizes he found the light switch. So the kid's standing there, up, down, up, down, up, down. So I'm going to scream at him, start yelling, Shabbos, Shabbos, Kishra, Yishmuchu, Machus, Hashem, Shabbos. So come to Shabbos, that's a joke. What kind of chinuch is that? That's like bringing the 2-year-old into the sukkah. The din is, you're not going to bring the 2-year-old into the sukkah. The Mishnah in Sukkah tells a story about Shammai. But Shammai Azokim was of the opinion that you have to bring mamash a baby into the Sukkah, a little teeny baby. So Shammai, the Mishnah tells a story that when Shammai's daughter-in-law gave birth, so he wanted to bring the little baby. Mishal Zochan, he wanted to bring the little baby into the Sukkah. But it was cold, he was bringing it outside, so he made a Sukkah in the house. In those days, the ceilings weren't so strong, so he just took out some of the ceiling, and he put a little bit of schach there, on top of where the crib was. So the Mishnah says, he made a little make-believe sukkah. It was a kosher sukkah. It had walls, it had the schach, everything was gewaltig, a kosher sukkah, that should be over the baby's crib. So Shammai had a unique sheet of al-chilach, you have to be mechanic the children, even mamash's babies. But we didn't pass like that. We passed like everybody else, that you only have to be mechanic the child, when they know what you're talking about. If you do, to make sure that the kid eats matzah, the kid's 6 months old, you need matzah for, he's not going to remember, he's not going to what he's doing. So that's low gil l'chinuch. That's what some Rishonim say, the same here also. When it comes to losa says, of course there's a din of chinuch, but chinuch only kicks in once the child understands what's going on. So the Gemara says, if you would hold that there's a din of you're not allowed to be machshel a child, let's say for me to actively cause him to be mechal Shabbos, that applies no matter how old he is. But for me to have to stop him to intervene based on chinuch, that only begins at the point of a gil l'chinuch. That's the second answer to the Shabbos. So again, so everyone agrees there's some kind of a notion of chinuch. Yet we have this Gemara that ignores chinuch. The Gemara says that you have children in Bechal Shabbos, no problem. Children eating treifas, no problem. Babies going to basic varas, go out of them, no problem. Everything's okay. I don't have to interfere. Why don't I have to interfere? So one day in Rishonim is because it's low sasays. And the other day in Rishonim is no, because how come I ask him the child is young?
If there's a concept that
non-kosher food
is
not tamtum asaleh, so
why don't I want to
obligate
to stop a 3-year-old from eating it? I don't want it to be
tamtum asaleh. Good. So, in Achinami, there is such a concept of tamtum asaleh, but therefore, why is his tamtum asaleh? Why is that mechayev me to do anything about it? I mean, it's not a nice thing. Tamtum asaleh is a terrible thing, but that in and of itself is not a mechayev in halacha to make me stop him from doing it. The top of his life, okay. So he'll have tamtum asaleh. But what's the mechayev in terms of me? Means I see a 3-year-old being with tamtum asaleh. Okay. So the question is, why is that mechayev me to do anything? That's the shayla. I'm not sure. Anyway, a kopanim. So we have so far two answers in the Rishonim. How to solve this problem? What happened to chinuch? What happened to the mystery of chinuch? Where did chinuch come in that sugya? So after one group of Rishonim say it's a losa says, the other group of Rishonim say the child's too young. Come a third group of Rishonim will say no. The answer to the question is as follows: the only time there's a mitzvah of chinuch is when we're dealing with my own child. I'm a chuvi mechanach my own child. Like the Mishnah Chochma said, that Lamana Sheitzav is one of his base, so it's my children, my household. I'm a chuvi mechanach. Who said I'm a chuvi mechanach the whole world? I'm a chuvi to run around, give me chinuch, let's say, unless I see a 10-year-old boy who's eating out of the soup. It's not my kid. So I'm a chuvi to go run around and tell the, I go to Hershey Park and Cholomar Tzuppas. I see a 10-year-old kid who's eating outside the soup. So I'm a chuvi to go run up to him and drag him into the soup. The mitzvah chinuch is a mitzvah. The mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah on all of Klal Yisrael. So when the Gemara says that there's a din that a child should give a chinuch, you have to apply him tzitzis and put him into the sukkah and give him matzah and give him kiddush, etc. That means my child, I'm responsible, I'm not responsible for your child. So therefore, when the Gemara says that when you see a child doing an aveira, you don't have to worry about it, yeah, that means if it's somebody else's child, but if it's your child, avada, you have to interfere. So basically, we have three pshatim in the Rishonim, how to get around this problem, how to stop this issue in terms of what happened to chinuch. The Gemara assumes that you don't have to stop the child eating chinuch. You don't have to stop the child being Mechal Shabbos. So why not? So either there's no chinuch on Losa says, or the child is too young for there to be chinuch, or it's somebody else's child. And there is no chinuch on somebody else's child. The one thing is agreed upon by everybody, whether you have to stop somebody, you don't have to stop somebody, one thing for sure you're not allowed to do, and that is to actively cause somebody to do an aveira, to give a child non-kosher food, or to make a child in Mechal Shabbos, to request them to Mechal Shabbos for you, to push the baby carriage with the Kohen Kotel into the basic verse. Those are for sure also, and that's also in the Torah, that's the Gzeiras HaKlal of Emor V'Amarta, that's what we passed in Halacha. But one could still raise a question as to what the nature of this Isser is, Emor V'Amarta. This Isser that I can't be Metamid to Kohen Kotel, I can't feed the trade to food for Kohen, I can't have the child be Mechal Shabbos with me. What's the nature of that is? So why is it, what is that all about? What's the Talmud over? So one could suggest really one of two possibilities. Either one can understand that this is also related to chinuch. This is basically all part of the chinuch parsha. So we paskin that if I see somebody else's child or my child on the bar mitzvah, whatever the details are, if I see a chait that's taking place that I didn't instigate, so maybe that's not so terrible. So for me to initiate an aveira, for me to cause a child to do an aveira, that's the worst chinuch possible. Now, what is that chinuch? The child learns the whole week about Shabbos in school, and then when he comes home, I tell him to turn on the lights for me. That's the worst possible chinuch. If he does it himself, maybe I didn't see it, I did see it, I ignore it. That's one thing. For me to initiate a chil Shabbos, for me to give him treifas, for me to push the baby into the basic world, so maybe the nature of the yisr of Emor Amarta is that it's really a sheva osid, is that what we're not really concerned with the child eating trays. So the child ate trays, metaphim zalev, okay, we'll survive, metaphim zalev. But what really bothers us is that in 10 years from now, he's going to continue to eat trays. He's going to remember that somebody fed him trays when he was a kid, and that was okay. He's going to remember when he turns bar mitzvah that somebody had told him to turn the light 5 years ago, so he's going to turn the light now. So that's the reason why the Torah says, l'hazik do maktan. It's also a subcategory of chinuch. Or maybe one could argue, that the din of also l'hazik do maktan, and that which I'm not allowed to actively cause a child to be chayte, that has nothing to do with al-sheva asid. That's not because of the future. That has to do with the here and now. What's the here and now? So one could raise the question, what's the nature of a child's obligation, a lack thereof in terms of mitzvah? So we know, if a child's Mechal Shabbos, so he's not chayv, he's bezin, he's not chayv koris, not even korb, nothing. Under the age of arbas mitzvah, they're not held responsible. So what does that mean, a child is not held responsible? That means it's not an aveira. It means when a child is Mechal Shabbos, a 10-year-old boy is Mechal Shabbos, it's not like a goy doing Chol Shabbos. When a goy turns on a light, it's not an aveira. It's garbage, it's nothing, zero. So when a 10-year-old boy, a 11-year-old girl turns on a light, it's mamish kimandola, he said, that's not a mice. Absolutely, that's a hetagomer action. Is that the pshat? What's the pshat? No, it is an aveira. What the child is doing is fundamentally wrong. He has kedushas Yisrael. People who have kedushas Yisrael are not supposed to be eating treif. They're not supposed to be mechalal Shabbos. Hello, what? It's a ptur, unshin. The Torah says we're not going to hold him responsible for this. He's young, he's a baby, he doesn't understand. Al-Habdil, you have the secular world also. He's underage, okay, he's a juvenile. They're not going to hold him responsible for what he did. Is that the pshat? Is the pshat that it is an aveira, just there's no onesh, or it's not an aveira altogether? If you take the approach that it is fundamentally an aveira, so then I understand why I'm not allowed to feed him the treifas. Then I understand why I'm not allowed to cause him to turn on the light. A mamish be makshlam an aveira. The fact that there's no onesh on the aveira, the fact that there's no punishment, that's between him and the Rebbeinu Shlom. That's between him and the Beis Shammah, the Beis Shammata. That's in the world of Einshin. But in terms of aveira itself, it's an aveira. It's the same aveira whether my 12-year-old boy is Mechal Shabbos or my 14-year-old daughter is Mechal Shabbos. They're both called active Chol Shabbos. One is an onesh, one is no onesh. But in terms of the act of Chol Shabbos, it's mamish the same act. It's a Jew be Mechal Shabbos. That's a problem. So that chakira about how to understand the nature of the ptur for a katan, whether a katan is potter from Isurim because he's mufka from the entire Isur, that he has no shaykhus of the Isur, or whether it's just an exemption in terms of ocean, This is now going to impact about how to understand this halacha that I can't cause the din aveira. Why is it that I can't ask the child to turn on the light for me? Whether it's dark in the room, kid's 10 years old, why can't I ask him to turn on the light? Everyone agrees it's also in a Torah. But what's the nature of the issur? Is it just because of the future? Because it's just poor, it's poor chinuch? Is that the child? Or no, it's more than that. It's worse than just a chinuch issue. It's a here and now issue. It's something which is also because right now he's in violation of an issur. So this question may be related to a machlekes of Rishonim, that we're past Pesach Rishon and we're not quite a Pesach Sheni, so we're somewhere in the middle. So it's a little bit sugyev of Pesach, of a current Pesach sugyev, which may shed some light on this topic. The Gemara says in the 7th paragraph of Pesach of Pesachim, the 8th paragraph of Pesach, there is a din that in order for a person to eat Korban Pesach, he has to be part of the Korban Pesach. He can't just walk in the middle of the Seder, here I am, Baruch Abba, give me a piece of meat of Korban Pesach. You have to be min hamenuyim. You have to be somebody who is joined up, he signed up, he bought a share in the Korban Pesach. We say it in the Mishnah, Ezim Mekayman, says, Pesach el necha o belayla, chatzot el necha el menuyos. It means you have to be money on the Korban Pesach. If you're not money, if you haven't paid your share, if you haven't joined in, you're not a partner of the Korban Pesach, at the time of the Shechita, it's not enough to join in later. Before the Shechita, you have to join onto the Korban Pesach, so then you're not permitted to eat the Korban Pesach, and that would be an Issa Deir Aif. It's called eating a Shalom Menuyav, it's also min HaTorah. So comes the Gemara and raises the question, Maseches Pesachim, what's the din? Let's say a father's going to bring a Korban Pesach, and he has a lot of members of his family. So his wife's in the family, his older children in the family, he's got cousins, he's got brothers, he's got next door neighbors, he's got 30 people, 40, 50 people are joining on the Korban Pesach. He happens to also have a couple of kids under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. So those children under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah, he wants them to eat the Korban Pesach. Do they have to own a share in the Korban Pesach? Do they have to buy a share? He has to be machted to them. The same way, if he wants his brother to come and join, he wants his cousin, he wants his next door neighbor to join the Korban Pesach, so they have to, he has to mamash be machted a share of the Korban Pesach. Otherwise, it's Shalom Nuyuk. Does that then apply to the children under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah? So the Gemara is a shayla about that, and the Gemara concludes that it's not necessary that a person can have his children on the Korban Pesach, even if they're not technically min hamenuyim. The Gemara tells a story that once there was a father who wanted to make sure that his kids were a little bit lazy, like they used to come late to school every day. So he wanted to make sure they wouldn't come late to the Korban Pesach. So he said to them, that only those kids who get around time, so if you're not here by 12 o'clock, we're shechting at 3 o'clock. If you're not here by 12 o'clock, so you're not part of the Korban Pesach. So only some that made it, and others them didn't make it. So the Gemara says, even those who didn't make it, they could still eat the Korban Pesach. Either one, min hamenuyim. The Gemara says, you don't need min hamenuyim because they're under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. So come to Rishon and say, what kind of din is that? Why don't you need min hamenuyim just because you're under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah? If it's also min haTorah to eat Korban Pesach, Shalom min hamenuyim, let's say eat Korban Pesach, which is not roasted, if you eat a cooked Korban Pesach, that's also min haTorah. I'm not allowed to feed a pasul korban to a child, so why am I permitted to feed the Korban Pesach to the child, if the child that wasn't signed up for? So the Rana Maseches Nedarim explains that a child is different, because since a child can never really join the Korban Pesach, the child is under the age of a mitzvah, he's not even chayiv in Korban Pesach. So the only time there's an iser to eat shalom and aminuyim is only someone who's mechuyif to be ben aminuyim. If you're supposed to sign up, you're supposed to join, and you dilly dally, you dreizach, and now it's Pesach night, and you're knocking on doors looking for a place to get a piece of Korban Pesach, that's the iser of shalom and aminuyim. But if nobody expected you to be ben aminuyim, because you were under bar mitzvah, you weren't mechuyif to be ben aminuyim, you never had to come in the first place, so the iser doesn't apply to you. So according to the Ran, it's a din prati in the iser of shalom and aminuyim, that the iser of shalom and aminuyim doesn't kick in on somebody who's under the age of bar mitzvah. But Taisa Maseches Pesachim in the 8th paragraph is a different answer. Taisa says, now, the reason why we're not so careful, we don't really care about Shalom and Aminuyim for children, is Bishub Chinuch, says Taisa. Because we want to be Mechanic for children, we want to make sure they eat Korban Pesach. So children, they forgot to be Aminuyim, they didn't make it on time, the father forgot. So we're going to turn around to the child at the Seder and say, sorry, you can't eat Korban Pesach. So that's going to be Chisaron Chinuch. We're trying to make the whole Seder geared towards the children. We come to the highlight of the Seder, the current base, we tell the child you can't eat because you forgot to sign up in the afternoon. So that's a bad message. That's going to be counterproductive to Chinuch. So therefore, Mishum Chinuch, they permitted the child to eat Shalom and Aminuyim. That's what Taisus writes in Maseches Pesachim. So the Chayyim is Taisus, correct line. What kind of luck is that? That because of Chinuch, because we don't want the child to feel bad, we want to make sure he comes back to school after Pesach, so we feed him trade first. If you hold like the Ran, that there is no Isser of Shalom and Aminuyim for a child, because the very nature of the Isser of Aminuyim, Shalom and Aminuyim is only someone who could be a Manoi, someone who's chayav to be a Manoi. So that's a lomdish answer, that's a kosher, a brisk answer, that I understand. But Taiz's answer, that really it is Isser, it really is trade. It's not a carbon possible for him, it's not a dalai in a Torah, and we still let it eat him, it doesn't make any sense. So what's Pshat and Taiz's? So the Chalik Sham tells us as follows, that if you hold that the Isser to cause children to do Averas is really an Isser here and now, it's not an Isser Hashem Ahovah because there's something wrong with children doing Averas, then the Tosfos Mamash doesn't make any sense. Bishub Chinuch, I'm going to mop an Isser Deraisa, what kind of sense is that? Because I have a grandiose educational plan that's gonna be beneficial in 10 years from now, so I give this kid trace? That doesn't make any sense. But if Tosfos understood that the whole nature of the Isser of feeding children non-kosher food, the whole nature of the Isser of causing children Michal Shabbos, bringing the children, Kohanim, Ketanim, into the basic kvaros, is Mishum Chinuch. The whole Isser is Mishum Chinuch. So what Tosfos is telling us is as follows, that whenever you have an Isser which is a Chinuch-oriented Isser, so you have to take the whole Chinuch picture into consideration. You can't make just a limited question. It's like a principal has to make an important Chinuch decision. So you can't sometimes focus just on the here and now. You can't just say, well, this is poor Chinuch, or this is good Chinuch, therefore, if it's going to have ramifications down the line, it may be a great decision now, but the repercussions of that decision are going to be detrimental for Chinuch, so that has to alter the decision. So that's what Tosfos says, that this is not an Issa Bifreyansma. This is not like eating mamish treif. A child, there's no way to eat treif for food. There's nothing wrong with a child eating treif for food. There's nothing intrinsically wrong. Child's under bar mitzvah. He's not chayav mitzvah. He's not a bar chiyuv. It's not just a p'tor. Onshin is totally mufka from the yisur. The whole reason why we're not supposed to encourage children to do averus is only because of chinuch. That's what Tosfos says. When you're dealing with an yisur, which is in the realm of chinuch, so then the rules of chinuch take over. So you have to figure out what's in the best interest of being mechanech the child. So you're right, it would have been a nice idea to get the child to sign up before. That's very nice. Wonderful. But Lamai said the kid didn't show up. The kid was sleeping. His father forgot. So now, you're going to not let him eat the Korban Pesach, and thereby the sacrifice is proper chinuch, because you want to fulfill chinuch. The whole point is, whatever is the best interest of the chinuch of this child. So this idea, whether the nature of the yisr is al shem chinuch, where the nature of the Yisr is al shem ahova right now, that may very well be the nekudas ha-machlekes between Taiz and Iran. My nafkamina, at the end of the day, whether it's Pesach chinuch, not Pesach chinuch, just the nafkamina for Korban Pesach, there's got to be some more practical nafkamina for us. So there is a much more practical nafkamina, and that's an issue that appears in the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, a very, very poor shayla, halacha l'maisa. That's as follows. We know that in halacha, we usually group together three individuals who are potter for mitzvahs. There's the cheresh, the shaita, the katan. So a katan, we know, katan is the easiest. That's under the age of 13, under the age of 12, boy and girl, that we know how to define a katan. A cheresh is also not that difficult to define. A cheresh, the Gemara says, is someone who's eno shemer v'eno medaber, one who cannot hear and cannot speak. So in the olden days, it was impossible to have any communication with such an individual. Such an individual was considered to be totally mufka, totally puddled from all mitzvahs. There is a question whether how that plays out as man as that. There are ways to communicate to such a child. So that's a question, how the din of cheresh would play out today. But in the old days, for sure, the din of cheresh was defined simply as eno shemer v'eno medaber. Then you have the din of shaita. Shaita is much more complicated. The shaita, the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechet Chagiga, is exhibiting certain types of certain symptoms were indicative of the fact that he has certain serious psychological issues. And the Gemara says it's not always so clear how serious they are. So a lot of people do a lot of strange things. Just because a person does something strange doesn't necessarily mean he's a shaita. The Gemara says that ein adam over veira elam ki nichnas baruch shtus. That every time you do an aveira, that's a shtus. If the imam is a shaita, you do it. After the Baruch Hu said not to do it, and you're doing it, so you're a shaita. So that's not a shaita who's part of a mitzvah. That would be a great tour. Every time you do an aveira, so you're part of it because you're a shaita. That's what Moshe writes in a tshuva, that there was an individual who was totally went off the derech, converted to another religion, and joined a small sect of a group. That part of their practice of their religion is that they don't go to any doctor, they don't take any medicine. So when I said the person got sick, he died. So the question was, they wanted to know, the relatives wanted to know, can we bury this person in a Jewish cemetery? So normally the halacha is, if a person is an Ovid of Azari, it's not supposed to really be buried together next to a people who are Shematar mitzvahs. So they brought the question to Rav Moshe, is this person, who obviously believed in another religion, are they considered to be an Ovid of Azari or not? What was the Shaila? The Shaila was, maybe they're a Shaita. So the Rav who said the Shaila, Rav Moshe suggested, maybe they're a Shaita. Because anyone who's such a fool to believe in such a religion is by definition a Shaita. So Rav Moshe says, I understand. And a person bows down to an Allah, not a shaita. He says, the Torah gives us an issur of Avodah Zarah. So how can the Torah give us such an issur? So the answer is that you have people who do very, very foolish things. That doesn't mean they're a shaita. I mean, that's what we have lahavul. You have in the secular court also. You have to, a person claims insanity. So a person, to kill somebody, you got to be Meshuggah to kill somebody. That's not an insanity claim. You have to pass rigorous psychiatric evaluation that you're really honest to goodness. Your whole method of thinking is so warped, is so totally off. Then we can discuss whether you're a shut. That's what the Gemara says, the Chagigah also. Just because you're doing a favor here and there, or even though you do a lot of strange things once in a while, that doesn't necessarily make you a shut. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Eidos that this is one of the hardest things to describe, and this is something that you can't even describe on paper, the Rambam writes. That you have to aim the basin on the diet has to assess case by case and see, is this person really is he doing such strange things that he's totally out of the touch of the reality? Then we'll label him an halacha as a shaita. The Rishon is a famous tshuva that there was an individual who was married, and then the couple separated, and the question was, is he a bar hoch, is he going to get to his wife? So shaita is a la bar das. So at the time he got married, he was a bar das, but now he developed conditions and now he's not acting normally. So Rav Moshe was discussing, interviewing the person, is the guy a shaita or not? So what was the guy's shtos? He thought he was Mashiach. So the Rav Moshe says, but everything else, he was normal. He had a job, he went to work, so he functioned normally, but he thought he was Mashiach. So Rav Moshe has a whole discussion, does that mean he's a, and we really call him a shaita, but does that mean he's a shaita with a capital S, or a shaita with a small S? So that's the question. But a kopot, if someone really qualifies as a cherish or shaita, then they're for sure potter from mitzvahs. So the Chassam raises the question, what would it be? Are you allowed to cause such a person to do a veiris? Let's say I have a cherish or a shaita. Am I allowed to ask them through mechol shabbos? Am I allowed to feed them treif? So what's the shaila? So the shaila depends on this. What's the nature of the isser of feeding treif to the kotel? If the nature of the isser is, he's Jewish, he has Kedushas Yisrael, so it doesn't matter whether he's a bardas, labardas, chayvin onshin, not chayvin. Might say he has Kedushas Yisrael, someone who has Kedushas Yisrael should not be eating treif. Someone who has Kedushas Yisrael should not be tulian lights in shabbos. Someone who has Kedushas kuna should not be in a basic varas. So it doesn't matter whether he's chayvin onshin, not chayvin onshin. He's not allowed to do avarus. If that's true, that's true for a cherish and a shait also. The shait also has Kedushas Yisrael. The cherish also has Kedushas Yisrael. So if so, the fact that he doesn't know what's going on, that doesn't detract from the fact that Malala causes him to do a virus. But if you hold that the nature of the Yisrael of causing a child to do a virus is more chinuch oriented, rather than right here and now, it's more Shem Asid. So one could argue that who says there's chinuch on a shaita? Who says there's chinuch on a cherish? If someone, again, this man chazal, you have an individual, he's never going to be able to be chayvim mitzvahs by a katan, so we have to train our children, because eventually they'll be chayvim mitzvahs. But someone who's never going to be chayvim mitzvahs, maybe there's no din of chinuch, so there's no din of chinuch, so then maybe there wouldn't be a din of lahachal yadayim as well. So the reason why the Chassam Sofer was yes, the shaila, this was a very, very serious shaila in Europe. Baruch Hashem, we don't have the shaila to this extent anymore. But in Europe, sometimes you had an individual who never had to be institutionalized, and a person who was institutionalized, there were no Jewish places, there was no way to get kosher food, to put a person, Nebuch, who was suffering psychiatric, whatever disorders he had, he was put away somewhere, and he was put away in a Goyish facility, and they were feeding him traitors for the rest of his life. So the question that was asked to Chassam Sofer, are we permitted to do that? Are you allowed to, if for whatever reason we can't take care of him, it's dangerous for you, whatever it is, we can't take care of him, so we have to put him somewhere, and the only place that's available is your mamish forcing him to eat trade food. Is that a halach concern or not? So that depends on the shayla. So if you hold that the nature of the yisr, l'hachab yadam, is a chinuch oriented yisr, so then if the doctors say that this guy is never going to be a bar, he's never going to be having mitzvahs, then maybe this yisr wouldn't apply to him. Mashenkin, if you hold that this is not doing chinuch, this has to do with Kedushas Yisrael, and Kedushas Yisrael means whoever has Kedushas Yisrael would not be permitted to violate aveiros. So that's a shayla. So this lomdash chakira may very well spill over in terms of lemais applications. This question that we raised as to whether the nature of a katan, when we say that a katan is not, we're not allowed to cause a katan to do aveiros, does that mean that the katan is mamish, not allowed to do aveiros mitzad atzmo, that he's a mechuyev davar, so to speak, there's no onshin, or do we say that he's bechlal, not in violation of the aveira? So Reb Chaim Hoizer touches on the shaila in a tshuva, it's relevant also for this time of year, not too relevant for us to make, but it's a theoretically relevant shaila. Chaim Hoizer wants to know, what would the din be if you have a katan, a Jewish katan, who owns chametz on Pesach? So he owns property, he owns his box of cereal. His parents gave him a gift of box of cereal, it's his box of cereal, and he never got rid of it before Pesach. And now the shaila is, are you allowed to eat this chametz after Pesach? So we know the Mishnah tells us from Sachin in the second part that chametz shal Yisrael shal oblov Pesach is also b'hanor. You're not allowed to derive benefit from it. It's b'shal oblov by Ravei Motzei, because the person violated by Ravei Motzei. So the Rav Chaim Weizer raises the question, what would the din be about this katan? This child didn't violate by Rav Chaim Weizer. He's a katan. He's under the age of a mitzvah. So he's not sure. Would you say that the chametz is also enough? So there are two stars on what the chametz may be also. Number one, maybe Taka did violate the Yisra, even though it was the Onesh, but maybe he's still violating the Yisra, based on what we said before. And then there's a Ritvan, there's a Pesachim that says that even if you personally didn't violate the Yisra by Rav Chaim Weizer, but in theory, by Rav Chaim Weizer, it would have been violated. Even though some quirk, some technical halachic quirk that you snuck out of it because you're under the age of a mitzvah. So that's not enough, says the Ritva. Well, nice. This is Chametz Shal Yisrael. You're Jewish. This is Chametz. Pesach Pes, that's called the Chametz Shal Vesel.
Does the katan doesn't really
own it? So that's what you say. You have to find a case how he actually owns it. So katan could have kept all things. The Tosfos writes in Sanhedrin that, let's say, if I give a gift to a katan, so that he owns it min haTorah, let's say a katan's parents died, he's yoreish the property, so he does own it min haTorah. So there is a way, hechetim every once in a while, for a katan to own something. So I call upon this fundamental question as to how to understand the role of a katan in halacha. Is a katan totally mufka from Yisurim, or is a katan basically in the parasha of Yisurim, just that he's part of an onshin? This ultimately becomes responsible for achakira as to how to understand what the nature of the issue of encouraging time to do our various is all about. Is this part of chinuch or not? So the basic category, at least the introduction that we gave, is that there is a concept of chinuch out there. It's rooted in the deraistega concept. The details are usually on the midrabanan. Chinuch applies to haseis for sure. May most probably applies to los haseis also. Whether it applies to my child or else's child is up for grabs. And this issue of lahachal v'yadayim, at least according to some, is shown maybe a subset of chinuch with all the possible ramifications thereof. And according to others, this issue lahachal v'yadayim is really different. It's a different area of Allah. It's not related to chinuch. It's related to the here and now. It's assuming a fundamental yisod that a katan is basically chayav mitzvahs. It's just that there's a psor from onshin.